we're going to look at what the Spirit does in us. He secures us, He gifts us, He sends us, He empowers us. And I'm really believing that by the end of this series, you're gonna have a relationship with Him like you've never had in your life. Yeah. And that you're going to hear clearly from Him, that He'll speak to you clearly. But for you to hear from Him clearly and for you to be led by the Spirit clearly, there has to be a connection. We have to create a connection. And I would suggest to you that maybe if you don't quite hear from God or hear from the Holy Spirit like the way that you would hope to, that maybe there's a bit of a connection issue. It's interesting that the Bible uses different typology. So he's not saying that, remember Jesus was water baptized and he comes up out of the water and it says that the Spirit descended on him like a dove. It didn't say that it was a dove. Don't get caught up in the terminology, but it like a dove. And the interesting thing about doves, if you've ever been around doves, they're the most easily spooked things on the face of the planet, right? Yes? Easily spooked. And so when it comes to the Holy Spirit, sometimes we don't hear from Him because we're not still enough, we're not quiet enough, we're not listening enough. He descends like a dove. And He just needs us to be still enough sometimes just to hear Him. The other thing about a dove that sits on our shoulders is that you have to be close to be able to hear it. And so sometimes when we've drifted a little bit, it's hard to hear from God because God likes to whisper. And He likes to whisper not because He can't talk loud, but because for you to hear Him means you have to be close to Him.
That's right.
And because He's relational, He wants to get you as close as possible, hence why He whispers. He's not trying to communicate with you. He's trying to have a relationship with you and get you close enough that you can hear the whispers of His voice. So the Holy Spirit, first thing I need to explain to you is that He's not an it. He's not a force. He's not some spooky kind of atmospheric thing out there. The Holy Spirit is referred to all the way through Scripture as a person. He, a person. The Holy Spirit has feelings. The Holy Spirit has thoughts and emotions. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has a mind. He has a presence. He has a purpose. He's part of the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all dwell together in perfect unity. They are all co-equal and they work together to fulfill eternal purposes and our lives and the lives of those around us. And the Holy Spirit is an absolute vital connection for all of our lives. If we don't have a connection to Him, we are in trouble. The only way that I can describe it would be, I can remember a few years ago, a long time ago actually, I was in my 20s, so it was a long time ago. I went with my pastor to a place called Serbia, and we're doing some missions work in Serbia, and there was a missionary there from England, and he was meant to look after us and take us around. We were working amongst the gypsy church there in Serbia, and every time we went somewhere in his car, he either had to park it on a hill or he had to have us push it because it wouldn't start without being push started, or he'd have to park on a hill so you get momentum of the hill. And so everywhere that we went, we had to push start this thing or had to be parked on a hill so that it would go, right? And I said to them, you know, like at that time, I said to him, how long has it been like this for? You know, like I'm thinking, surely you know someone that can send you a little bit of money to get this fixed, right? Because I don't know about you, but when it's minus 10 degrees and you've got to push start a car, it's not very fun. And I thought, surely there's, you know, like how much? I'll pay for it to be fixed. He goes, oh, I don't know what's wrong with it. It just stopped working. It's been like this for 2 years. And then the funny thing was is that a year later I found out that he had gone back to England and another missionary had come out from the UK and he had left his car for him to use. And of course this guy jumps into the car and finds out that it's not working. He pops the bonnet, goes underneath and sees that there's a loose connection to the starter motor, tightens it up, hops back in the car and boom, 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 and away he goes again. So for 2 to 3 years this guy had got everyone else to push him, or parked on a hill, or got him to push him, all because he never lifted the bonnet, he never checked it, and the problem that he had was not that the car was broken, there was just a loose connection. It's just a loose connection. And if we do not have a vital connection to the Holy Spirit, we will end up pushing our whole life around with our own energy instead of in the power of the Spirit. We'll try setting our whole lives up around certain things to make sure that we can keep life moving forward. We will set our lives up around this and that so that we make sure we've got a hill, that our life can flow down so there's momentum. We'll do, make sure that we've got people around us that can push us along in life because we don't know how else to get moving. And so all because of a loose connection with the Holy Spirit, you will find yourself trying to move your life around under your own energy and under your own power when God created a situation for us when Jesus left. He sent him to be our helper, our comforter, the one who comes alongside and to come and inhabit our lives and be the power of our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend all of my energy trying to move my life around just because I have a loose connection to the Holy Spirit. I would rather get in relationship and connection with him and let his power be the thing that propels me around in life. You need to understand who lives in you and the vital relationship that the person called the Holy Spirit is to your life. In the Greek and in Scripture, because it's written in the Greek, all of the New Testament is originally written in Greek, and in the Greek the word for Holy Spirit is parakletos. It's where we get the terminology of like paralegals and stuff like that, but it's the parakletos, and in the Greek it virtually means the one who stands next to you, or the one who is called to your aid, the one who's there to help, to be with, to comfort. In John 16 verse 7 it says this, it says, "Nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage," this is Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, the parakletos, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him, the parakletos, to you." John 14, 26 says, "But the helper, the parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what?"
All things.
Some things?
All things.
"And bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you." John 14 verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the parakletos, that he may abide with you forever." The Holy Spirit comes to bring Christ to us. The Holy Spirit comes to bring remembrance to us of what Jesus has taught us and said to us and shown us. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring the kingdom of God to our lives and the lives of those around us. It's so vital that we have a connection to him. Listen to this. Romans 14 verse 17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, except for when it's a brisket on the barbie, right?" "The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the what?
Holy Spirit."
In the Holy Spirit. So he's saying here that the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink. In other words, the kingdom of God is not about the natural. The kingdom of God is not about the natural things. It's not about the things around you. But it's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. If you take the eating and drinking out of this verse, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is virtually saying that the kingdom of God, another word for the kingdom of God is the dominion of God, where God has rule, where God has authority, where God rules. The dominion of God is what? Is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That where God has dominion, where the kingdom of God is manifested, there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is the power of God, the influence of God, the gifts of God. All the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. He inhabits every single part of it. And if you don't believe me, well, then let me explain a little bit further to you how important a role the Holy Spirit plays in our worlds, because you can't come to Christ without the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture says that he's the one that convicts you of your sin. Not condemns you, but convicts you. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who cleanses you. You can't pray without the Holy Spirit because He is the one who teaches us how to pray and what to pray for, the scripture tells us. You can recite a prayer in your head and out of your mouth, but it's not the same as praying in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, "But you, beloved, build your lives up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." In other words, he's saying what builds you up, what builds your life, what builds your faith is praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit plays a massive, massive role. It is a vital connection, and the vital connection to the Holy Spirit opens up a powerful flow of the Holy Spirit, and it opens up a powerful flow of grace, power, and wisdom, and a filling of the Holy Spirit that not only fills you, but keeps filling you so that you are always filled and never empty. How many people think it's probably pretty important to have a connection to the Holy Spirit? So I want to ask you a question this morning. How much grace, how much power, how much renewing, how much strength, how much wisdom, how much love is flowing in your life? Because if you're honest and you say, I don't think there's probably a lot of this, but there's not much of that. Or maybe there's not much of any of it, there's a bit of it, but I don't really feel like I'm filled to overflowing with it. Can I suggest to you that maybe God's not the problem, and I'm not saying that you're the problem, but maybe there's a loose connection somewhere. Maybe there's a connection that's a little bit loose that you need to tighten the nut on so that all of a sudden the starter motor can kick in your life and bring about that grace and that power and that love that you are looking for. I mean, basically I'm asking the question of how full of the Holy Spirit are you? What place does the Holy Spirit have in your life? Like in your priorities, where does he sit? He dwells in you, but do you have a relationship with Him? You see, the Holy Spirit is the empowering presence of God. He is the source and sign of the spiritual life that God breathes in redeemed, forgiven people, connecting them to God the Father and to Christ, and a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is so important to us. It is vital that we have a relationship and a connection to the Holy Spirit. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Ephesians is an incredible book, but I love that in Ephesians there are 14 scriptures that speak about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so this morning I'm trying to lay a foundation for you around the Holy Spirit so that as we go through the next few weeks, you can really lean into it in such a way that you start to see Him move in your life. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. In verse 17 it says that He comes to us as the Spirit of wisdom. Anybody here need some wisdom?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. And Ephesians 2:18 says we have access by one Spirit, access to the Father by one Spirit. There is a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, things are revealed to us. There is strength in the Spirit. We have unity in the Spirit. We walk in one Spirit. We should renew the spirit of our mind, the Bible teaches us. We are not to quench the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're not to quiet Him down or still Him down in our lives, but we're meant to increase Him in our lives. The Spirit grows good things in our lives, just like you can grow good things in a garden and it springs forth and it brings about a harvest of great things in our lives. We are to be filled with the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And if you want to know, how do I hear His voice? Well, every verse has His voice. And we are to pray in the Spirit. I don't know about you, but when there's 14 verses just in one book about how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives, I think it's something that we need to consider. I think it's something that we need to look at. I think it's something that we need to be honest about ourselves. About how are we with Him and where are we with Him and what kind of relationship. And you're probably like, well, how do I have a relationship? You just talk to Him. Just have a conversation with Him. Welcome Him into your world. Welcome Him into your life. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do for my life today? Holy Spirit, I need to make a decision about where I fix my mortgage or don't fix my... I need you to speak to me. He's the teacher. He's the comforter. He's the one who comes alongside. He's the helper. Speak to Him. We give Him full access to our lives. I love this great quote by St. Augustine, who is one of the fathers of our faith. In 384, he was around a long, long time ago, and he said this. He said, "O Holy Spirit, descend plentifully into my heart and lighten the dark corners of this neglected dwelling." I would suggest to you that all of us, including me, all of us, have some dark corners in our lives. All of us have some neglected areas that the Holy Spirit hasn't got hold of in our lives. And St. Augustine is saying this, he's saying, man, get in there, Holy Spirit, get into all of those crevices, get into all of those dark corners. I want the whole of who you are. D.L. Moody, one of the great evangelists of our time, said this: the work of the Holy Spirit is to impart life, to implant hope, to give liberty, to testify of Christ, to guide us into all truth, to teach us all things, to comfort the believer, and to convict the world of sin. How awesome is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, there has to be a personal connection. We don't date the Holy Spirit. We get married to Him. Yeah. It's like a marriage.
Yeah.
We don't date Him. We don't hang out with Him when we feel like it and ghost Him when we don't feel like it. When He texts you, you text Him back. You don't wait 48 hours and avoid it. When He calls, you don't send Him the voicemail. We don't pick and choose when and He is part of our world and when He is not. But we are in relationship with Him. Constantly, always, allowing Him to speak into our lives. Let me kind of put it this way. Hopefully this will help you a little bit. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says this, that this is right at the start, right? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I mention the scripture because I think it's like our lives. That before Christ came along into our lives, or before we found Christ as our Savior, before the Holy Spirit came along to our lives to convict us and to help us find Jesus, I think that our lives were without form and void of life. Because without God and without the Holy Spirit, our lives are void. Our lives are empty. And the Holy Spirit was hovering over the darkness upon the face of our lives. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters of our lives, or the things that we're going in. He was hovering there, waiting for the right moment. And as the Spirit of God simply covers our lives, as we invite Him in and He covers our lives, and the dealings of God start to happen on the inside of us, and the grace of God to bring you to a place where you can be formed. He brings you to a place where the darkness can be pushed off the face of your life. Where He can push off that confusion, that anxiety, that darkness that's on the face of your life. As He hovers, He comes and He pushes it away, and He brings us into this place of fruitfulness. He brings us into this place of light, into this place of finding God, of our eyes opening, if you want to put that way. We start to see what God can do in our lives, but none of that, None of that can take place unless the Holy Spirit is involved. Everything that's ever happened in your life, anything good that has ever happened in your life, has had an involvement of the Holy Spirit hovering over you, waiting for the right moment, or waiting for you to ask Him to interject Himself into your world. He is the most patient, caring, loving person that you will ever know. He just patiently waits, abiding with you forever, the Bible says. Ephesians 1:13 says this about Him: in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and who also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you gave your life to Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. To make a connection with the Holy Spirit, five things need to happen in your world. The first one is you have to hear the gospel. You have to hear that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that He rose again. You have to hear that for you to understand that that's the only way to the Father. That's the only way for you to live. He's the only person that can live in you. You have to hear the gospel. The second thing is you have to respond to that gospel. It has to become your gospel, not your parents' gospel, not your friend's gospel, not somebody else's gospel. It has to become yours. It has to become your personal gospel. You have to have a heart connection to the message that Jesus died for your sins, He rose again, and He's forgiven you of all of your unrighteousness. You have to believe the truth that He is the only way, that there is no other way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." There's no other way but Jesus. No other way. No matter what anybody else tells you, there's no other way. Not all roads lead to Rome. There's only one road that leads to God, and that is through Jesus. And then you have to trust in your confession, that as you've confessed and asked Him to forgive yourself, believe that you're forgiven. Believe that He has washed you clean. And believe that, fifth, that you are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sealed. The important things about understanding that you have been sealed in the Holy Spirit is because to be sealed indicates a security that you can have. It indicates that you're secure in that. You see, back in the day when the Bible was written, if the king wanted to send a letter to somebody and he didn't want anybody to look at it, he would fold it in a particular manner, he would melt some wax, and then he would have his own signet ring, and then press that ring into the wax, and that would seal the letter. And the only person that was allowed to break that seal was the person that it was addressed to. I don't know about you, I don't know if you've ever done this in your life, but I can remember when my school C results, that's what you used to sit when you were in year 11, came in the mail. They weren't online, they came in the mail. No, it's old school, right? And I was a little bit worried about what my school C results were, and I decided, put your hand up if you've done this, I decided to steam open the envelope before Mum and Dad got home. Has anybody done that? Am I the only one? I don't believe you. I reckon there's some people here. You steamed open letters because you wanted to see what they said, right? And I steamed it open and I put it, and then the problem was it wouldn't stick back down again. You know, and I got caught out. And this whole thing about being sealed here is that if you break the seal, everybody knows. Somebody read this who should never have read this. This is purely only for the person that is addressed to you. And if you, back in those days, if you broke that seal, and it wasn't for you, and you read it, and it wasn't for you, and you got found out, you would be sent to prison at least and hung at worst. Because it wasn't your letter. It was secured by a seal. A seal speaks also of authenticity. That it's an authentic message from the king because it carries the king's seal. It's marked by the King. No one else has added to this or changed it. You can trust in what's written in that letter because it's sealed. It's authentic. It is approved. It is genuine. And it's also, there's an ownership there. This is a letter that the King owns. You need to understand that when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that you are authentic, that you are genuine, that you are secure, that you can trust in this message because no one can add to it or take away from it because it's from the King. You need to trust that you are owned, which means this, that seal says that this is owned, which means that no one can mess with it because it's not theirs. No one can mess with you because you're sealed by the King. Because they understand that you're being sealed with the Holy Spirit, that you are pressed with the ring of King Jesus, and no one can mess with you because they don't have the authority or the right to break the seal because the King has sealed it. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. When the enemy looks at you, they say, hey, don't mess with them because they've been sealed. They carry the seal of the Holy Spirit. They understand that because you're sealed, it's authentic, that your faith is true and real, that there's power in your prayers because you carry the seal of the King. And they start, when we start calling upon the name of the Lord, they're like, man, we need to get out of here because they carry the authority and the security of the King. Because they have power, because they have been sealed and they are authentic. And that seal means they're owned by King Jesus. And we can't mess with what He owns. He has a stamp of approval on their life. So we can't bring up their past. We can't shame and condemn them because they have been sealed. And we don't have the right to mess with the seal. Because if we mess with the seal, we will have to face the King. There's a security in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We have been sealed. No one can mess with our seal. And when the enemy starts picking away at the seal of Jesus around your life, you need to lift up this verse, Ephesians 1:13, and say, whoa, you can't mess with this seal. You don't have the authority to pick or break this seal. I am sealed by Jesus. Jesus, He's messing with your seal. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. I'm sealed by the blood of Jesus. I'm sealed in my destiny. And you have no power, enemy, to shift it around, change it around, because you don't have the authority to break the seal. I'm authentic and Jesus' name has been stamped on my life. And when I come in prayer in the name of Jesus, I can hold up the seal to prove that I'm sealed by the Spirit, and all of heaven sees it and all of heaven gets in behind it because it shows that I have ownership and security in the King. Benefit of the Holy Spirit coming upon your life is a benefit of beyond natural insight and wisdom. That all of a sudden you get wisdom and insight about things because of the Holy Spirit that you would never have insight about things before. All of a sudden you have insight in your parenting, how to parent your kids better. All of a sudden you have insight about your marriage. All of a sudden you have insight in your workplace, and your boss says to you, where do you get these ideas? Where does this come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit who gives you the wisdom and the insight to see. And all of a sudden, you have an unnatural ability of wisdom and insight in your career and in your schooling and in your university. Why? Because the Parakletos comes alongside, the Helper, who teaches you all things. The benefit of supernatural strength to your inner man comes because of a connection to the Holy Spirit. When you think it is all over, all you need to do is go to Ephesians 3:16 and read it, because it says this, and He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. How much riches of glory does God have? It's unlimited. And because of the riches of His glory, you can be strengthened with might through His Spirit on the inner man. And so when you feel all alone, and you feel like that nobody is there for you, and you feel like that you can't get through this, there is a strength that you have. It might feel like you have no strength, but I want to tell you today that the strength you are looking for is available to you today, and it's available to you in the Holy Spirit. And if you call upon the name of Jesus and in the Spirit of God, you'll gain the strength in your life that you're looking for. You're not going to find that strength in anyone but the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You won't find it in your friends. You won't find it in your parents. You won't find it in your pastor. You won't find it in anyone. As much as it is good that we have friends, we have parents, we have family, and we have pastors and leaders that we can talk to, I'm telling you, the strength that you need when you're at the lowest of lows can only come by a connection to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's Him who comes alongside and strengthens you. The Holy Spirit helps us in our worship. If I can get that. Keys to come up. The Holy Spirit helps us in our worship. He helps us to go deeper. He helps us to move from this kind of worship to widescreen TV worship to touchdown worship. He helps us go deeper because He ushers us into the Holy of Holies. He brings us in. He helps us to go deeper. Listen to this, Ephesians 5:18. The Apostle Paul speaking, he says this, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. If you get nothing else out of today's message, that will help you. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's really weird how Paul says this, right? Because Paul here contrasts a negative and a positive. He makes the positive the same as the negative. He's like, don't be drunk on wine, because that will ruin your life. But be drunk in the Spirit. So I'm not meant to drink, but I am meant to drink? Yeah, just of the right thing. Paul's saying, don't be drunk on the things of this world, be drunk on the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Be completely and totally drunk. Basically saying, don't be drunk that way, be drunk this way.
Yeah.
Be drunk this way. Drink as much of the Holy Spirit as you can. Like you can gorge yourself on Him. You can keep going back to the bar and they'll keep serving you. The Holy Spirit. You see, I think the reason why Paul says be drunk on the Spirit is because there's one thing that I've seen over the years with drunk people, and even occasions in my past where I was not following God and I was drunk, is this. Drunk people loosen up, yeah? You can get someone who's the quietest person ever, but you get a bit of alcohol in them and they won't shut up, right? They loosen up. Drunk person will talk to anybody and everybody. I can remember before I was pastoring, I had to take out the CEO of Meridian for dinner, the job that I was in, and he wanted to go to this really fancy 5-star seafood restaurant, and because we're trying to do a $12 million deal with him, my boss said, take him and let him have whatever he wants. And so we're there, and I made a booking, and I'm standing there waiting for the guy to come and confirm that our booking's okay and to take us to our seats like you do at a restaurant. And this guy walks up to me, completely drunk. Hey, mate, what are you doing? I felt like going, I'm at a restaurant. What do you think I'm doing? I should have said to him, I'm nitty. What are you doing? I'm just about to have a meal here, mate, and I'm just waiting for the maitre d' to come. Ah, you don't need a maitre d', mate. Look, all these spare tables. Come on, bro. Come on. I'll take you to a seat. He doesn't work there. And he starts walking through the restaurant. He's like, come on, mate. Over there. There's a good seat. And I'm like, oh, I'll just wait for the maitre. No, mate, come on. How about the maitre d' comes out? And the guy goes, hey, I've already found them a seat. I'm like, it's not your job. You don't get to say where I sit. You see, drunk people, they get really loose and they're just like, yeah, come on, yeah. Mostly, some don't. It's so loosened up and they talk, and sometimes it's really embarrassing, right? It's really embarrassing because they're not really in control of themselves. And they just become a little bit clownish and a bit stupid. When a drunk person gets pulled over for driving, what do we call it? We call it driving under the what?
Influence.
Driving under the influence of alcohol. And Paul is saying here, we need to get under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need to be living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need to be walking around drunk in the Holy Spirit. He's saying we drink too little of the Holy Spirit. We need to drink more, and we need to be loosened up. Loosened up, why? Because God needs you to let go of some of your self-control so that He can be in control. Drunk people, they loosen up to the point where they let loose of their self-control, right? And the alcohol starts to dictate their behavior. But Paul is saying here, whoa, you are so tight, you are so bound up, you are so trying to control your life. You need to get drunk in the Holy Spirit so it loosens you up, so that you release some of the control of your life and you allow the power of the Holy Spirit, or you allow the Paracletos, the helper, the one who comes alongside, the aid, the comforter, the teacher, so that He starts to take control of your life. You're trying to fix everything, and you can't fix anything because you don't have a connection to the source of all the answers and to all of your problems, and it's the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Get drunk so that you lose control. Not in an embarrassing way, but you lose control of your life and God takes control.
Yeah.
And then you start walking in your destiny and you start walking in everything that He has. Drunk people are loose. They're not tight, they're not tight-fisted, they don't try to control. I can remember a few years ago when we were doing youth, when we were living in Manurewa, and there was heaps of drunk people up at South Mall. And we decided one night that what we were going to do was we're going to make up a big batch of nachos and hot chocolate and go up to South Mall at about midnight and just give food to, you know, all the drunk people hanging around. And so we went up there and we set up this table and we had nachos and we had hot chocolate and we had some of the youth with us. And, you know, and you had all these guys coming up, coming up and asking what we're doing. And we're just giving away free nachos. All right, mate, not free. How much? And no, it's free. It's free nachos. No, mate, I got to pay for it. It's not free. It's not, no, it's honestly, it's free. Free hot chocolate, free nachos. Nah. And they just kept on trying to pay us all the time, even though it was free. I bet you if we went up during the day where none of them were drunk and said, we've got free nachos, I bet you nobody would say, oh no, let me pay for it. There's a loosening that happens when we're drunk in the Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to overwhelm us. We lose some of our control. We lose some of that tight gripness that we have on our lives. And the Holy Spirit starts to take over. And the very thing that you've been trying to control is the very thing that He takes you into, because you can't lead your life, but the Paracletos can. He can lead you into all the things of God that you need. He can lead you into great parenting. He can lead you into great marriage. He can lead you into great things. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, Spirit, Holy Spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Every person wants to be loved. Every person wants a sense of control over their lives. Every person wants to be rid of anxiety and fears and worries. And the Bible is saying this, no. The Spirit I've given you, if you drink it in, if you'd let it overcome your life, if you'd let the Holy Spirit lead the way, if you'd be filled, flowing, one, you understand that you are secure in that, that He's got your back, that you're covered, the enemy can't get next near you. And when you understand that, you feel loved, you feel empowered, and the worry goes and you have a sound mind. Because that's what the Spirit of God does. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me. We need to be people that drink more of the Holy Spirit in every area and every situation of our lives. But if we have a loose connection, we'll never experience that. And it's not because God is mean. And it's not because you're bad. Life sometimes just causes us to disconnect. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, and has been saying all week to me and saying this morning, let's reconnect. Let's reconnect. A little bit like somebody that you've known for a long time and they say, hey, let's have a coffee this week. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, can we reconnect? I'm not here to judge you, I'm not here to criticize you, I'm not here to condemn you, I'm not here to shame you, I just want to reconnect with you. Can we tighten that connection so that the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit starts to flow in you, through you, and around you? Why don't we all close our eyes just for a moment in this place?